Good morning. Hey, good morning. It's great to be back at WWDC to talk to you about OS 10. You know, OS 10 has been with us as a name for over 15 years, and it served us so well. But as we look at it alongside its younger brethren, something sticks out. We realize that there's a name that would be so much clearer and so much more elegant. And so, we're making it so. The name of the world's most advanced desktop operating system is now macOS.
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, the FBI has got him on their dangerously sexy watch list. Buster.
Oh, kind what, me?
Oh, thanks.
I'm not sure if you can get on an airplane, dude.
Oh,
just being honest with you.
It's okay.
They got their eyes on you. Also joining us, he was once responsible. I can't even say it. What did I write here? He was once responsible for 8% of the monthly recycled beer bottles in San Francisco County. Leander Caney.
Just 8%?
Only 8%, yeah.
That was enough.
Life goals there to accomplish. Oh, my goodness. We're going to try to keep this show under 4 to 5 hours. Leander demanded that we go through every single point in the WWDC keynote and talk about it for at least 2 to 3 minutes. So should we just play the keynote, Leander, and we can just stop it every 10 seconds? Yeah, we'll just pause it, and we'll have 2 to 3 minutes of commentary deconstructing every little thing. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to talk about WWDCs like this because it was so jam-packed. It was 2 hours long. And I want to talk about every single little thing, but I know that you guys don't have the stamina for that.
Oh,
there's no way.
Stamina.
I know you have stamina, but that's for like nude hiking.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure you can make it through 2 hours of listening to me talk about software features. So we're going to run through everything quickly, like all the marquee features, and then we're going to talk about our favorite stuff from the keynote. We're also going to talk about our WWDC reactions. I think this is a very interesting keynote and a very interesting WWDC, unlike keynotes of years past. And Leander's going to tell us a little bit about the party scene because he's been out there just getting pounded.
Yeah, I know. It's been tough, but I had to do it for work. And
he was out there with Eddie Q, rolling up the sleeves with Eddie. He was out there with Air Force One, just throwing them back. So we'll be talking about that. Before we jump into our reactions, let me say this episode is brought to you by the critically acclaimed number one New York Times bestseller about the real Steve Jobs, which is now available in paperback. Becoming Steve Jobs, the evolution of a reckless upstart into a visionary leader, is a fresh, in-depth portrait of the greatest visionary of his generation, and now features a foreword by serial entrepreneur and venture capitalist Mark Andreessen, as well as an afterword by Rick Tetzeli, and bonus, Brett Schlender. Becoming Steve Jobs will be available June 7th, so it's available now, for $18. Everywhere books are sold, visit becomingstevejobs.com for more information. And I also want to say a very hearty, hearty thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. If you're a business owner, you need to be honest with your feelings about your day-to-day admin work. You need to admit to yourself that you can't stand it. It's a total grind. It's probably giving you IBS and very serious gas problems. Who does like that stuff? Nobody. And the truth is, over 5 million small business owners felt exactly the same way you do until they discovered FreshBooks, the dead simple cloud accounting software that's transforming how small business owners handle their paperwork. You can use it for easy invoicing. It's dead simple, literally takes about 30 seconds to create and send an invoice, and you can do it and get paid faster. You can accept credit cards and online payments. You can use the project deposits feature that allows you to invoice for a payment upfront when you're kicking off a project. And this is one of my favorite parts, insights. You will not believe the amount of reporting built into FreshBooks, and it will give you an extraordinary insight into exactly what is happening into your business, insights that you probably have never looked at before. And if you're running a business, you need to know where you stand. FreshBooks can help you do all of that and more. This is only a fraction of what FreshBooks can do. Check it out for yourself. See FreshBooks in its full effect. Head on over to FreshBooks.com/cult. That's FreshBooks.com/CULT. Enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Leander, we had a 2-hour WWDC keynote with not a single piece of hardware announced. Two hours!
Right. I know. And the gnashing and the grinding of teeth, it was really...
What was your reaction to it? How did you like it?
It was tons and tons of great stuff. I mean, my gosh, goodness, you know, everything looks really awesome. All the new operating systems, the watch looks awesome. iOS 10 looks awesome. iOS 10 is really awesome. You know what I did? Even though I said I wouldn't do it.
You installed it.
You immediately installed it. Yes, we all know.
On my devices. I didn't even last about 20 minutes.
Jeez. Oh, that's actually better than expected. At least you didn't do it while the keynote was happening.
Yeah, right. I know. It's pretty funny. I got it on my phone, my iPad. The one thing I didn't do was Mac OS, and I didn't do the Mac OS.
Oh, you didn't?
Sierra upgrade. No,
wonder we can hear you.
Well, right, exactly. That one's really committing, you know, suicide.
Right. Yeah.
Technical suicide. But I'm really keen to see that one. I mean, I think they all look really, really good. I mean, these are probably the strongest updates for, well, a long time. I mean, this is more exciting than last year's, wasn't it? And much more exciting than El Capitan and Yosemite.
I definitely agree with you there. Absolutely. Buster, what were you thinking as you were watching it? Besides, damn, look at that hair.
Damn. Yeah, that was good hair. I don't know. Yeah, it was. I don't know, a big-ass event. It's still, like, taking a long time. You know, I don't know if I fully processed all that. Because there was just so many little things. I felt like that was, you know, there wasn't anything huge mind-blowing, but it was just tons of little things that all, I think, will add up to make it way better.
I'm going to give a weird analogy here. For me, it was kind of like watching Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny for the first time. I went into it thinking, this is probably not going to be that great. You know, it's got Jack Black, Kyle Gass. What could this movie possibly be about? And then there were moments where I found myself absolutely delighted, thinking to myself, this is fantastic. This is a great movie. And I came out oddly very satiated from this event. I really didn't think as a software only event I was going to feel as good as I did. But
yeah.
To echo what you said, Leander, it was jam packed with all sorts of great stuff. It was like one thing after another, and the amount of small little things they did in iOS and tvOS and watchOS and macOS as a whole, I think was phenomenal, and it left me very excited for all of the updates that we're getting in the fall.
Right, yeah. But I think they actually did some really big things, which, not in terms of features, but like, you know, three really big things, I think. One is they've really opened up to third-party developers. Mm-hmm. You know, like open up iMessage and, you know, Siri, the open SDK. You know, this is like... You know, I think it's a big change for Apple because they always used to be so guarded. You know, Siri was like restricted just to Apple's own, you know, its own apps, and it didn't work with any third-party services. It's a big, big step, I think, opening that up, and then opening up, you know, iMessage and trying to turn that into its own little mini platform is really significant.
Huge update. That iMessage update is massive.
Yeah, and it's completely different. It's actually really nice. So, you know, like it's a real pleasure to use, and it's really, really easy. And it's really easy to add emojis and things like that, which I've always like foxed me. You know, like I could never really get the handle of that. I spent hours looking for the right emoji. Like, where's the weed one? You know, and I'd be like, by the time I could never find it. So that, I'm excited about that. But I think, like, you know, this, the whole thing about this reminded me of like of Microsoft in, you know, at the height of its powers, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. When, and Obama, you know, running across stage with his sweaty armpits, developers, developers, developers.
Nothing's gonna top that.
No, it would have been great if we saw Phil Schiller get up there, though, and do that.
I would have
right?
preferred, you know? Bob Mansfield, but yes. Right.
But it's definitely, I think, you know, that this is super developer friendly, and you know, I think a big change in sort of the mindset of the company to see them opening up and doing this, to being more receptive. You know, like it's sort of like, you know, it's breaking down that little bit of that Apple preciousness. You know, where everything is really sort of perfect. I think the other big thing was AI everywhere. There's a ton of AI stuff. All these smarts built in to, you know, in messaging itself and in maps. There's even a neural network in iOS now. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I only saw a little bit about it. Can you explain a little bit more what you mean by that?
Well, a neural network is, you know, the artificial intelligence technology that powered AlphaGo, the AI that just won the, you know, beat the best Go player in the world, and it's a simulation of you know, your brain, the structure of your brain with all these different neurons, and you give it a bunch of inputs. And you train it on the outputs, and it's really good at things like facial recognition and analyzing visual scenes, but also doing things like Go. And I thought, it was like, since when was there a neural network built into iOS, into iOS at all? And this is like a limited implementation of a neural network. It can't do any training. And I'm not really sure. In fact, I was really mystified because they didn't really talk about it. They just said the only documentation is all this technical stuff. And it was way over my head. So I had no idea what exactly it could do. But I think it looks like it can do some image analysis. So I think it'll do things like facial recognition or, you know, like being able to pick out parts of scenes. Developers might be able to use it for those kind of things. But, you know, there was AI everywhere. There was a whole bunch of AI stuff. And the other big thing, I think, was the privacy stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Being up a bit and it's very connected to the AI. They can't do the AI without gathering data on what people, you know, are interested in, what they're doing, where they are, what they're looking at. And, you know, Apple, being the champion of privacy in Silicon Valley, has to really jump through hoops to ensure that that data can't be, you know, tied to any individual. So that differential privacy stuff, I think that's a huge step, big step, you know, really big philosophically.
And they're also rolling out their new file system, Apple File System, which was built for SSDs to be faster and with encryption at the forefront of their thoughts so that it would be even more secure than the file systems they were using previously. So there's stuff like that they didn't even mention, you know, on stage, right? Because who wants to hear about file systems? In the general population, nobody. But it's important, and it's stuff that's going to be included in their software rollouts. And it's just one of those important things that they didn't even mention.
Right.
And there's a bunch of that stuff, too. It's actually, well, I have a list of stuff here, actually, a list of features that we'll run through at the end of the show of stuff they didn't even mention on stage, but stuff that's really cool. I mean, these rollouts are so jam-packed. They spent 2 hours on it, and they still didn't even have a chance to go through all the important stuff. They just went through, I guess, just the very, very top marquee features. Leander, before we jump into the features on macOS Sierra and our favorite features, what about the party scene? This is what we want to hear about. I mean, you went to some parties, right? I mean, how many? You're probably still coming down from last night, right? I mean, like, you still got your buzz going.
I'm trying to pick myself up. I think it's more like it.
Like, you've been going to the parties and to the events. Like, what's the scene? What's the zeitgeist there at WWDC?
It's kind of, you know, it's actually kind of low key. It's not like, you know, Macworld, I think there were much bigger parties and they would sort of, you know, hold, they would get bigger venues, you know, to jam pack more people in. All the parties I've been to have been like smaller gatherings, you know, 30, 40, 50 people.
Drum circles and hookahs.
No, it's... It's, you know, it's definitely about, I went to the Mac Rumors one last night with Arnold Kim, and he had like a bunch of people there. But it was at Lulu's restaurant, and it's, you know, really good food. The food was great. Before that, I went to a Macworld one, and there was a whole bunch of folks at that, all the Macworld crew, you know, like all the pundits. I didn't go to Gruber's thing. He had that... he interviewed Air Force One and Phil Schiller on stage.
It looked like an episode of Between Two Ferns. I haven't watched it yet, but like there were ferns on both sides of the couch, and I think the irony was lost on him.
Okay. Well, that was at, held at this Transmission Nights Club, which I went to the night before. And in fact, I had the best burger of my entire life.
This is the highlight of the show. Yeah, this is the best part of the show. Tell us about the burger.
Yeah, going back to, the Beard Bash on Monday night. That was kind of a big event because it was at the Transmission Nightclub, and they probably had like, I don't know, a couple hundred people there, and an open bar, which I partook. Thanks, Jim Dalrymple, for your hospitality. Yeah. and ran into some people I hadn't seen for a while there. So so working the jaw, and then I stumped. Let me rephrase that. So I went to on the way out. I was starving, hungry. I hadn't eaten dinner, and I asked the doorman, you know, like, where can I go get something to eat? And they tried to send me to Burger King. Like about three blocks away, and I was like, "Oh man, are you
delicious
kidding?
Flame broiled whoppers."
Well, then the guy goes, "Oh man, you gotta go down here to the Tempest Bar. It's like a block away, and they have this little hole in the wall kitchen where they do all kinds of it's really actually really really good food." So I went and got this box burger, and my God, it is the best burger of my entire life.
Wow.
It was so good. I went back and I ate it again the next day for lunch. And it was just as good the next day. It's a $9 burger, so it's not cheap, but it was extraordinary.
Wait, $9 with no sides? Just $9 for one burger?
Well, for a couple of bucks, you can get a side of fries.
Is it just as big as your face, too? You can
ginormous.
Oh, yeah. Papa likes that.
Oh, my goodness, me, though. But super, super delicious. In fact, my mouth is watering now. Like
my mouth is watering, and I can't even visualize it. You haven't even described it yet.
I was going to do a post on it, actually, pro tip. If you're at WWDC, you have got to get down to Tempest Bar. And in fact, you know, funny enough, we went there last night with Arnold Kim, and he went there twice yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
Arnold Kim, the guy that runs Mac Rumors, I was telling him about it on Tuesday, and he was like, okay, I got to go there for lunch. So he went there for lunch yesterday. Then we ended up there again there last night, and we had another burger after having drinks at his party. Yeah.
Trend starter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the parties are pretty good. I mean, like, this is like MacWorld used to be, like, back in the day, you know. Like, it's the one, I think, big event where everyone, you know, in the industry, everyone involved in Apple and software and hardware, you know, like, gets together. It's not quite, and it's funny because, you know, it sells out in 20 seconds, so you still have tons of people showing up just to hang out, go to the parties, try to network, you know. And they had AltConf. We went over to AltConf, which is the alternative it used to be called Alt WWDC. But now it's like AltConf, and they have a whole bunch of it's like 2 or 3 days. It's held in the Metreon Cinema, which is right across the street from the Moscone West. And they take over a couple of auditoriums, and they have talks there all day for like 3 or 4 days. And today Bill Atkinson is talking. He was one of the original Mac developers, you know, that made QuickDraw and MacDraw.
Wow, that's a cool guest.
Yeah, right. And they've had some really cool guests. They've had some pretty good speakers. It's a really nice event. It's free. It's open to anybody. So unlike Apple's thing, where you have to have a ticket to get in, and it's very technical. And no one can get in. Right. Yeah. This one is, is open to everybody. So it's a nice event, and it's nice to wander in and out of there and see people.
The venue this year's WWDC was gigantic too, way bigger than ones they've used in the past. Am I wrong?
No. Yeah, the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, which is a big hall down by City Hall. So it's actually away from the area where Moscone West is. And that's a big, big concert venue. So there's a lot of big concerts, you know, like some of the big, whenever there's a big band comes into town, you know, they play, you know, I think that's probably one of the biggest venues in town, I think.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it can easily accommodate several thousand people. And so there's a big square right in front of City Hall, and that was half full of all these, all the people who went to see the keynote. And my son, I sent my son down there to take some pictures, this whole park is full of people. And do you remember there was a story about there being a metal detector?
Yeah.
They were installing metal detectors. So there was a metal detector, and they installed one metal detector on the door, but they let everybody in super fast. And then they were pulling people at random. So like about every dozen people, every 15 people, 20 people, they'd pull someone over and like put them through the metal detector. But they cleared that space in about 10 minutes, and everybody was inside. And it's like three levels of stadium seating for this thing, for the two-hour keynote. Yeah, and they got them all in about 10 minutes. It was pretty efficient.
What's the point in every 10 people? It's like...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, right? Of course, it was in the wake of the shootings in Orlando, so I think, you know...
Yeah. So they're just doing like a random screening.
Just random,
sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk about these OSs. I'm going to run through the marquee features. This is how we're going to do this. I'll run through the marquee features really quick, and then we can talk about our favorite features. We have to make it through four OSs here and keep the show under 30 minutes, as we always do. So I'm going to go quick. So let me just run through the short list of popular features. Siri is coming to the Mac. They are including Memories, which create photo slideshows based on people, places, holidays, and more. Apple Pay coming to the Mac. Auto Unlock. Universal Clipboard. Access to your desktop and documents across all your devices. A new app to optimize storage. Huge improvements. Huge. Actually, I should say huge improvements to iMessages. And picture in picture, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Big one for me. Leander, when they were talking about Mac OS Sierra, what feature really stood out to you?
Well, Siri, of course, yeah. And I think that actually could be really, it did look really useful. It's really kind of unclear what you can do with it. And, you know, will it work offline? Is it, like, going to be a good Finder replacement? You know, mm-hmm. Craig was searching for files, and he did something, and he narrowed it down so he could remember, you know, it could understand the context of the search he was doing. That looks super useful. And doing a whole bunch of background stuff, getting it to play music, you know, and so you don't have to leave your document, finding pictures, doing web searches. I mean, it does look amazing. It looks really, really good. If it works as good as Alexa, or anywhere near as good as Alexa does, you know, Amazon's Alexa on the Echo devices, but you can do sort of, you know, basic computing tasks. It might be a really big deal.
Buster?
Maybe picture in pictures. I don't know. I wasn't too excited about any of the Mac OS stuff.
Okay. Picture in picture was definitely one of my favorites.
I mean, that's something I'm actually going to use. The auto unlock, that's nice too.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like the things I'm thinking I will actually use. I don't think I'll ever use like, I don't know if I'll really use Siri on my Mac because I never use her on the iPhone.
Well, that's exactly what I was curious about, too. I mean, some of the examples that Craig gave on stage look like they might be useful. But what it always comes down to for me is speed. Is it faster to just do it with my hands on the keyboard, or is it faster to use Siri? If it's faster to use Siri, I probably will end up using it. And when you're looking for something very specific, like weather information or... He used some kind of search examples. Maybe those would be something that I could ask Siri specific questions for. Then maybe I would use it. But the jury's out for that one for me as well. Auto unlock, hands down, my favorite feature. I've been using an app called Mac ID to auto unlock my Mac, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, right.
You know, you've been using it too, Leander. So
that and a couple of others. I've tried about three or four of them. I can never, and then just not consistent. They just do not stick. It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was excited to see Apple do it because my guess is Apple does it right and it's going to work every single time. And actually, I think this is probably one of the better reasons to own an Apple Watch now. So if you have an Apple Watch on, you walk up to your Mac and it just unlocks. Just that alone, I think is worth the $350 for an Apple Watch, so you don't have to keep typing your password in. Okay, let's move on to iOS 10. Of course, the iMessage app got a huge revamp. Siri is now open to third-party apps. Well, not all of them. We can talk about that. Maps can take reservations and search along your routes. There is a new smart home app that Apple is releasing to control all of your HomeKit devices. Mm-hmm. Raise to Wake, which is something I've been hoping that they would have since they released the Apple Watch. Rich text notifications lets you view photos and videos. Contextual typing predictions in the keyboard. Raw image capture for the camera, also a very big feature. Buster, when they were going through this list, which one just made your nipples go, boy,
the screen animations, because I'm just going to, on iMessage, I'm just going to spam those at people to annoy the shit out of them.
Yeah, you mean like the confetti and like the fireworks and
the
stuff?
Balloons, and yeah. I don't know, some of the iMessage stuff, it seemed like it was definitely for teens and millennials, you know?
You think so?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see myself using all of that stuff quite as often as I think kids will, but...
That's probably true.
The rich text previews and stuff, rich previews in iMessage, though, that's really nice. So you don't have to leave the conversation to check something out.
Right.
Yeah, Leander, what about you?
Yeah. I like it. You know, like, you're right, though. It is definitely. It's a lot of stuff that's been pulled from Snapchat and Facebook Messenger, right? You know,
yeah. Totally.
It makes it more visual and it makes it a lot more fun. And like I said, you know, I already got a kick out of like sending, you know, stupid weed emojis, which I could never do before because I could never find them. But it really is nice. Those previews work really well. And it makes it's a lot more functional. You know, like it was messaging, I think, is probably the thing I use the most on the phone.
It's probably the thing that most people use the most.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, most people, I mean, you know, my daughter lives in Snapchat now. My kids, basically live in Snapchat.
Mm.
And, they only text, you know, the old folks using iMessage like me.
So iMessage is the app for old folks?
Right. It's kind of embarrassing, yeah. For me, for texting me and my mom, because their mom, Tracy, my wife, so...
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and I like it. You know, I think it's really good. The rich text notifications are really good. The notification screen is really good now. And you know what I couldn't get used to was the slide to unlock. I was like, where? That's gone.
Oh, right, long
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, yeah. The most iconic thing in iOS, right? The thing that is the most recognizable feature of it is gone now. So now you have to press your finger on the home button. And then it gives you a little reminder to do it again.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it, how Apple will just kill off something that has been iconic for so long with such little fanfare.
Well,
it's just all of a sudden gone.
I kind of wish they would do it more. You know, in fact, I was talking last night to this developer I know, MJ, and she was showing me her Android phone, and she's running. Oh my goodness, I forgot what it's called, but it's not a stock Android. It's a mod, and. It uses a lot of the AI that Apple's starting to introduce into iOS now, you know, for choosing what notifications to show you, what apps to show you. The app screen was completely different. It was almost blank, and it had just two vertical lines of apps. And those apps changed depending on what time of day it was, because it had been, it's been monitoring what she does. In the morning, she tends to use this app, and then in the afternoon, she tends to use these two apps. And so they change depending on the time of day. And she said it works great.
Huh.
And I looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is completely different to anything to the stock iOS and stock Android distributions you see. It's completely different. And it's like, I thought it was really interesting, really exciting because, it's really a bold attempt to try to rethink how you do things. I'd love to see more of that on Apple's side.
But I would too.
They're much more conservative. You know, they want people to be familiar. They don't want to get lost. They want people to get frustrated. And of course, that is a danger. But I was also, I'd love to see some more experimentation. I'd like to see the change. I'm really glad it's happening.
For me, I think that this is kind of a toss-up. Raise to Wake, huge for me.
Wow.
Because you guys have probably heard me complain about how once they integrated the new Touch ID, which is lightning fast, if you don't have one of the newer iPhones, when you get it, you'll be shocked. It's instantaneous. And so you never get a chance to actually look at your lock screen because every time you touch your home button, it disappears. And ever since I've gotten the Apple Watch, I always thought to myself, why doesn't Apple do this for the iPhone? It makes so much sense. When you lift it off the table, the screen should come on, and that is exactly what we got. So finally, you'll be able to use your lock screen again. But iMessages, also, it may be for old people, but they added so much great stuff to iMessages. And truth be told, I'm not even sure I'm going to use half this crap. But it looks like it's fun. I'm just going to run through a quick list of stuff that we're getting in iMessage. The new bubbles, the handwriting recognition, invisible ink, which I saw an example of on Reddit. It looks like it works very well thought out. Screen animations, stickers, heartbeats, sketches. You can even draw over videos now, inline videos, and of course the tap to replace emoji.
Oh, that's going to be awesome, actually.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a whole cavalcade of useful features or at least features that might be fun to try out. It's just breathing freshness into the iMessages app, and I didn't even think that they would do anything to iMessages besides include the payment system that we talked about, Buster, which I kind of actually wish they had done.
Yeah.
But alas, so the new iMessages app is getting totally overhauled, and I'm really actually quite excited about that. And then, of course, raw image capture, which is huge. For anyone that has a DSLR, editing raw images in an application like Lightroom or Photoshop, you have much more control over what you can change, and it allows for a higher quality end product. So it's really cool to see Apple finally give people access to the raw images. Although it means that if you take a lot of photos, you're going to need to get a bigger, an iPhone with more storage, because the images are going to take up about 30 megabytes of space, which is a lot. Freaking huge, actually, for an iPhone image. My DSLR photos don't even take up some of that much space, some of them. Keep that in mind. Okay, let's run through watchOS. Apps are going to load much faster. The side button is now used to scroll through apps. So Apple was referring to it as the dock. You can swipe up for Control Center. There's some new watch faces, including an activity watch face. Buster's new favorite, I'm sure, the Minnie Mouse watch face with the customizable skirt colors. And the numerals watch face. You also get the SOS feature, a.k.a. I've fallen and I can't get up 2016 mode.
Yeah.
And an all-new Breathe app. Now, Leander, you wrote a piece on Cult of Mac about all the stuff you get excited about from WWDC. And the Watch OS stuff, I know, was amongst your favorites of the announcements. You were pretty jazzed. I think you said you'd gave jazz hands, actually, during the presentation. Am I right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's, it really definitely did so badly needed a revamp. I think a whole bunch of things really didn't work. And having used the beta now for a couple of days, I think it's still kind of only halfway there. Mm. But definitely the dock is, and the speed is much better. So, they've made it now. So, they were prioritizing battery life. So they're very, very conservative about apps staying in memory, because it would drain battery, and also background refresh. And they found, I think, in real world usage, that people's watch batteries lasted a lot longer than they thought they would. So more often than not, most people get through the day without draining their watch of its battery life. So now they have the dock, and this is where your most used apps are, and they remain in memory at all times. So the minute you hit it, it pops right up into the foreground. And they're also background refreshing, so they all have the latest information. It makes a big difference on speed. I mean, it's really nice to use it now. There's no spinning, little spinning flower anymore. But they still have the old, I wanted to actually see that the honeycomb of apps go away, because I don't think it makes any sense. And especially if you have a few
apps on there.
It's hard
to use, too.
Yeah, right. So I don't know why they didn't dispense. So now you have this dock, and you hit it, and the context, it replaces the context. You remember where you hit the side button, the flat side button, and it would bring up a little wheel of your contacts, of people to contact. I don't think I ever once used that.
I used it for 2 days to draw pictures to Buster, particular body parts, and I sent a couple heartbeats, and then that was it. I never went back to it.
Yeah, the heartbeat thing. I forgot about that. I sent it once. I think I did it with Rob in Alaska, and it was so weird and creepy that I never did it again. Because no one I'd want to share a heartbeat with actually has an Apple
Watch.
Nor
could you, right? But yeah, exactly, because not enough people have an Apple Watch to actually make a lot of those features useful.
Yeah. But The honeycomb thing is completely unusable, but it's still the main interface element. It's the one that you get when you touch the digital crown. So I don't know why they didn't, when you touch the digital crown, why don't you get the dock? Why did they, why has it sort of been relegated to this secondary interface when it really should be the primary one? So it's a bit odd. It's a bit weird. I'd like to see the honeycomb, even though it looks cool, it's just not usable. It's not functional. So I don't know why they didn't put the dock front and center, because it's a much, much better way to get to apps.
Apple kind of admitted with this update that their UI was kind of confusing, I think, and needed an overhaul. Because, they did. They overhauled a lot of the interactions. And I don't even know if there's glances anymore. Did they get rid of glances entirely? I think they might have.
Well, that's the dock, because those,
Okay.
Glances are the dock.
Okay, so the dock works, I guess, kind of similarly to the glances.
To glances.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. It is glances, except it is the app selection, I think, is... It differs slightly. I can't remember how, but the
glances didn't include your open apps before.
Right, and I... You had to actually designate something as a glance.
Yeah, and I'm not sure you could have done all apps as glances.
Well, yeah, they had to support it.
They also standardized the interactions now. Now when you swipe up, it opens the control panel just like it does on your iPhone.
And that's really nice, yeah. There's a couple of extra controls in there and then much bigger buttons, so it's much more functional.
Buster, what were any of the features that they announced? Were any of them, did you think they were particularly useful?
Not really. There wasn't... I'll have to try it with the new glances and see if that makes me use apps at all, because I don't use any. I was just really disappointed there weren't third-party watch faces,
me too.
Be honest. I was like, that's all I wanted.
That's got to be coming, though, because you have this new watch gallery now.
Uh-huh.
And that's got to be made for third parties. Has to be.
Huh.
When you say watch galleries, what do you mean, Leander? I'm not sure.
Well, in the watch app on the phone, there's now what they call a watch gallery, and it's broken down by different categories.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can add the watch face you want in the gallery on the phone, and then you can choose it on your watch. And now you can swipe between watch faces too. So if you do a long swipe left or right, it actually rotates you through a bunch of different watch faces. So you can change the watch face depending on what you're doing. You know, like if you're at work, you can probably have a modular one that has your calendar and other stuff. And then when you go to the gym, you choose an activity-based one.
I hope you're right. I hope they are paving the way for third-party watch faces, because really, the watch app is my favorite app on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And it's the one that I think would be the smartest for them to open up to a third party, because that way we have a lot more choice than we have now. And you know, third-party developers are going to think of stuff that Apple just will never think of.
Right.
So why not open that up? I don't know. Maybe it's a battery life thing. I'm not sure why they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, probably is, actually. And maybe just, you know, to make it look consistent and
they don't want people building a bunch of just crappy looking watches. Yeah,
right. I get a feeling of this that's part of it. But you know, I think also maybe just to get people used to the functionality, so that, you know, like once it's sort of been defined what you can do with a watch face and what it should look like, then they'd open it up a bit.
You might be right. I think my favorite feature, besides the SOS feature, clearly, is the Breathe app that they're going to be.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. I thought you were going to make fun of that.
I would have thought that if I were you as well, because typically that is something I would definitely make fun of. But I have been trying to get into doing deep breathing throughout the day, just to do some, you know, like meditative type deep breathing, you know, just like, you know, like maybe not with the chanting. But it's good for you. You know, it's good for your body to do some deep breathing and just get some oxygen running through your body. And so once they announced it, I immediately thought, man, that might be the motivation that I have been needing to really actually give it the old college try. And I think it's cool that you can use the watch to tap you and have you breathe at set intervals without having to open your eyes and actually look at a watch or at a you know, clock or something. So I am excited for that feature. Out of all the stuff I saw announced, I think it's probably the one that
really?
I'm most excited to try. Maybe not the one that I'll end up using the most, but the one that I thought was the most interesting and one that I'm most excited to try out. Moving on to tvOS. Man, we're cruising through these. Man, I thought we were going to go at least 3 or 4 hours today. Okay, tvOS. Siri now understands more complex searches. You could say, Siri, show me baseball movies from 1969. I think that was the example they used in the keynote. One that I think might actually be useful, though, since it supports stuff that's not in in iTunes, is you can now use Siri to search videos on YouTube. There's single sign-on mode, which got a huge, almost a standing ovation, which is funny because, I mean, I'm like, well, here are the folks that have cable still, clearly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because logging into all your different apps is definitely a pain in the arse. Dark mode, which also got some cheers. There's the memories slideshows, just like in on Mac OS Sierra and on iOS. Revamped Apple Music, an all-new remote app, and HomeKit integration. Mm. Leander, top feature.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, HomeKit. I think the home stuff, and but probably the game controllers. You know, the fact that you don't have to app developers don't have to support the horrible Siri remote anymore.
Yes,
and so they can choose just to do game controllers. That's gonna be a big difference because I think that was really hurting, you know, games on the Apple TV. It's probably the one thing that people really would, you know, download in any numbers is games for the Apple TV. So that's a big, big change.
I hope you're right. I think you are right. I hope that that developers will actually start developing more complex games for the Apple TV now, because it's a powerful piece of equipment, and really that Siri remote mandatory support was a limiting factor, mm-hmm. I think, for the Apple TV and games, because a lot of games just, they don't support a small subset of limited interactions. They require a controller. And so Apple really shot themselves in the foot, I thought, by forcing developers to support this rudimentary control mechanism. And now these developers can build any kind of game that they want. And hopefully we'll start seeing good games land on the Apple TV. Buster, what do you think?
Yeah, the games thing, like Leander's saying, and also the remote app, because I just hate the Siri remote a lot.
Do you really? You hate it?
Yeah, I mean,
makes you angry.
It's so small, you lose it all the time. Anytime you pick it up, you're picking it up from the wrong end, or you're accidentally fast-forwarding through your movie, and you're like, oh, shit, hold on, let me find out where I was. So I think that's like one of the biggest improvements. The memories thing I think will be interesting too. I think it'll be really interesting on like tvOS, where you might want to share them or show them to friends and stuff that are over. That might be cool.
The memories slideshow feature is available, I think, in all the new OSs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
not
it's
watch,
available
watch
OS. Yeah. But I think on the TV, it's probably the place where it is the most useful. I agree with you, because looking at photos on your TV is cool, and especially when you have family over. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how well it goes back into time and digs out photos for you, because that was one of the things they touted. Like, it's going to bring up stuff from your past, and you're going to cry.
Yeah.
You're going to be so moved, right? So I'm curious to see how well that works. I'm going to agree with you on the new remote app. I'm very excited for it. I think it's long overdue. I'm curious to see how fast it is.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the remote app for the Google Chromecast is slow and cumbersome, and it's like the Apple Watch. It takes like 5 to 6 seconds to do anything. So hopefully the remote app for iOS is going to be instantaneous. That would be really nice. I think the HomeKit integration is also pretty cool. Being able to speak into the Siri remote your commands for HomeKit integration is going to make it easier to control stuff, you know, like your smart lights and stuff. And actually, if I could go back to the iOS app, the new Home app, I thought also looked really super cool, because there's all these fragmented experiences now with HomeKit devices. I have a Nest thermostat in my house. I have smart lights. And even with a limited amount of smart devices, you have to use one app to do one thing, one app to do another thing.
Yeah.
If you really want to dig into what those devices can do. So I think it's really cool to see Apple unifying all these control mechanisms into one app. And it looks like you'll be able to say things like, Siri, I'm home, and have Siri perform a number of functions for you, like turn on the light, raise the heat, so on and so forth. So it's really cool to see HomeKit kind of take root finally after 2 or 3 years of kind of being out there. There's all these new devices that are coming on the market next year. I think I saw like 100 devices.
Yeah, yeah.
Are finally going to be released into the wild.
I found out, you know, like an interesting thing about that, and a lot of it has to do with security. Like Apple security protocols in HomeKit are crazy. It's super, super secure. And they're really worried that, you know, that HomeKit accessories could become, you know, backdoors into,
and they should be,
people's homes. Yeah, so they were it's in Elgato, and they were saying that it was really like a hairy nightmare trying to get all the security stuff locked down. And it was a lot of work, huge amount of work. They're super, super, you know, careful about that. You know, they don't want a light bulb, being enabling a backdoor, or someone to hack into your camera, or
right,
open up your locks. You know, I mean, it, and he said that, you know, it's actually kind of amazing how lax some of the other providers are. And they're not looking into this stuff. You know, they're not really locking it down. And, you know, because there was that, remember that those researchers hacked into a Jeep through its radio?
Yes.
And were able to take over the brakes and the accelerator.
And turn off the car.
Yeah, terrifying. You know, this stuff is really, really, is really risky. And the stakes are really, really high. So I wonder why they didn't do the home app in the first place, too. Don't you think this was like a big piece that was missing?
Definitely.
But I'm glad to see it coming in now, and it should make a big, big difference.
Well, Apple was relying on all the other equipment manufacturers to come up with their own apps, and I think those solutions, they work okay, but once I saw Apple release their own app, immediately I was like, okay, this was needed. I didn't even realize it, but this is something that Apple needed to do right from the start.
Right.
To your point about hacking equipment, I'm not sure if I'd rather have my Jeep hacked into and shut off while I'm driving down the freeway, or the camera in my house hacked into so you can see what I do after the curtains are closed at night. I'm not sure which would be worse for me.
Well, I know which one would be worse for the hacker.
Yeah. If he wants to see my naked yoga, actually, I don't have a problem with that.
Naked yoga.
Do you want to watch my nude downward dog? That's your prerogative.
Who was doing a story about naked yoga? I saw something on Twitter the other day about that.
Oh, really? I don't know. I must have missed that story. But all joking aside, it is serious. I mean, we're going to have smart locks. Look, in the next 5 to 10 years, I've played around with some of these smart house devices. This stuff is going to radically change our lives. I walk into my house. I tell Alexa to turn my lights on now. I can turn on one light or three lights. I mean, I have things happening in my house by robots, you know, by AI. And if someone is able to control that stuff, they can, as they understand it, they can watch what you do in your living room. They can unlock your front doors. I mean, they're going to be able to control your alarm systems. There's going to be all these things that are going to be controlled by software. So when you put it in that perspective, I think it is kind of scary. I'm glad to hear that Apple's taking it so seriously.
Right. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me that other device manufacturers maybe aren't.
Remember, some people took over a baby monitor and they were taunting this family through the baby monitor.
You're an ugly baby.
Remember that story?
No one will ever love you. Why was my baby always crying? My kid has like a serious self-esteem problem.
Right.
I didn't hear about that. So they were talking to the person's baby?
Yeah, I can't remember. Well, not the baby. They were talking at the parents. You know, they were shouting at the parents.
Oh, saying, oh really?
Yeah. You are stupid Westerners. You know? That was more like a German accent, but it was like, I think they were Russian hackers. And
Russians.
Yeah.
Leave it to the Russians to attack your baby.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I bet they said some pretty funny stuff, though. Okay, I think we made it through everything. Wow. Let's talk about hidden features. I don't even know if you guys know about these. These are some of the best hidden features that weren't mentioned on stage, and I'm going to reveal them to you now. And Buster, if you would, as I go through these, I'd like you to give me your reaction to them.
Ooh.
Just to kind of liven up this segment. Okay.
Wow.
There's going to be a magnifier feature on iOS, so by triple clicking your home button once you've activated this feature, it will activate your camera and let you zoom in on stuff with your screen. Buster?
Eh.
Okay. All right. Not impressed.
Good for old people. You know.
Good for old people with bad eyesight. Yeah. This one, I think you're going to like this one. Individual read receipts and messages.
Yeah.
So that's previously, cool. Let me describe the rest of it. Previously, or currently, I should say, you either send read receipts or you don't. Now you can send them on a per-person basis, Buster.
Yeah, so that means I'll like have them on for my wife and nobody else, probably.
Yeah, okay. Right, exactly. I'll have them on for Alex E. Heath's mom and probably no one else. In mail, you get a quick filter in the inbox. In the bottom left-hand corner, you can click it, and it will just show you only unread emails, Buster.
That's cool, but what I'm more excited about is the new unsubscribe button in mail that will automatically pop up, too.
I'm curious to see how well that works.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is it just going to open the website that is linked to the email, and you're going to have to put in your email address?
Hopefully it's,
you know?
Like,
and then it just...
Yeah, I'll just want... Because doesn't Gmail do this already, I think?
I'm not sure.
Hmm. And I tried it with Sane Inbox. They had something similar. But, you know, the thing is I could never get it to work.
Yeah.
Sane Black Hole?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Right.
I haven't tried that. Yeah. It didn't just make the emails disappear into a spam folder forever?
I seem to get more spam than ever.
But, you know what you're doing when you're unsubscribing to those emails is you're just confirming that you're a real person who needs to get two emails a day instead of one.
Right.
Okay, markup photos. Markup is a new feature that allows users to draw anything on images in the photo library, Buster.
I mean, that's cool. That's cool. That's nice.
You were about
to
do the sad horn to change your mind.
I mean, it's a needed feature, you know. But
okay, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Dedicated music section in Control Center. So you probably noticed during the keynote, they have revamped Control Center. So now when you swipe up, after you swipe up Control Center, you swipe over to the right, and you have all of your music information presented there to you beautifully, including album art. Buster?
Wow, that's so awesome.
I get a tough crowd here. Okay. Oh, you're going to like this one, I think. 3D touch in Control Center. For instance, now if you press on the flashlight button, you can choose its light intensity.
Oh, really?
That's cool. I will just not ever use it because I never remember to use 3D touch. So.
Okay, but maybe once they build in more robust 3D touch, you will.
Maybe.
Okay. Here's another 3D toucher. 3D touch notifications for more options. For example, you can 3D touch a mail notification on the notification screen and choose to archive it right from there.
Mm. Again, not titillating me at all.
Buster's soft on the hidden features. Okay, last one. I think you're going to like this one. This might be one of my personal favorites because one of my biggest annoyances with the Apple Watch, tell me if I'm not alone here.
Oh, yeah.
Is when you go into your photos folder, you see like 30 different screenshots of the Apple Watch screen. Am I alone here?
Oh, totally, man. Like anytime, usually when I'm like hiking for some reason, I activate the screenshots all the time.
Me too.
So they're
me
just
too.
Always, yeah, and that's just so
those
annoying.
Your old camera roll. Finally, you'll be able to deactivate Watch OS screenshots. So they don't do that anymore.
Well, that go on, sorry.
No, that's it. That's all I got, Leander. Oh, wait, well, I do have one more, but what's your question?
Well, how does Buster feel about it? I'm sorry, I jumped right
oh,
in.
Oh, that's
there.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that got well, an awesome reaction.
Are you
okay.
kidding? Like, who has a problem with their watch actually taking screen accidentally?
I do have that problem, yes. And it's so...
Incessantly, Leander. It happens all the time.
I'm totally surprised because I've never had that problem. I thought this was like completely not a problem. You know, something that, you know, not a problem that needed to be fixed.
You know why it probably isn't a problem for you is you are right-handed, right?
Yeah.
Well, Buster, you're right-handed too.
Yeah. What does that have to do with being right-handed?
Well, because I flipped the orientation of my watch, and I thought because I had done that, so that my digital crown and the button are on the other side. If you're right-handed, mine are facing my hand as opposed to my wrist. And I thought because I had done that, it made it so that I was pressing the buttons down more often than like the normal person. But apparently not. If it's happening to you too, Buster.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention this last point. There is one more, and that is you can now listen to music or a podcast or audio in general while you are taking a photo. So if you've
huge.
Noticed previously, big deal, right?
Huge.
You don't want, because actually, this actually might be huge for you since you're taking photos outdoors of your dog and
yeah,
stuff.
No, I wrote about that. It's one of my biggest annoyances, and it only happens on iPhone 6S, 6 Plus. Any device that has live photos is the only ones where they have that
really?
Glitch. Yeah. But yeah. All the time, you know, hiking and, there's awesome, you know, listening to music and then you pull out the camera and then everything stops and it's like,
right.
Oh, you just killed my vibe.
You killed my vibe, man. And now I can't even take the picture because I'm not in the zone anymore.
Yeah.
I hear you on that. So that's going away in iOS 10. We should probably talk about a couple of just hardware stuff before we wrap up. We didn't get any hardware. And that was sad for all of us. I know there's many of us out there waiting for new MacBook Pros. I am amongst you. I'm also waiting for a new MacBook Pro. So let's wrap up with these stories. First, let's talk about the MacBook Pro. We didn't get it. We're probably going to see it in September when they do their hardware events. But Buster, you wrote a piece that said there are some clues in Sierra which point to the OLED touch bar. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of new, tons of new APIs that have basically. It looks like they're just for like different buttons to show up on the bar, and I mean there was like probably 100 of them that we saw.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Holy moly!
I mean, when you think about all the different things that you're going to be able to do with it. System wide, it should add like a ton of functionality.
I'm just surprised that. All this stuff made it into macOS Sierra because now it seems like it's all but confirmed that we're getting it.
Right. I mean, they had to because if they launch those MacBooks this year, they're going to be running Sierra anyway. So,
and they probably weren't planning on Cultimac leaking photos of the prototypes. So maybe they didn't think anything of it. So I guess my message to everyone listening is stay strong, brothers and sisters. Stay strong. Our MacBook Pros are coming. Oh, yes, they will be ours.
Did we
in
post
September.
Up? I don't know if we posted it up yet, but there's a really great concept video floating around about how the OLED touch bar might work.
Oh, yeah, we different published applications. That.
Was that a video? I just thought it was photos.
No, it was a photos and video. Yeah.
Dude, those photos, that guy did a great job.
This is a great video because it's like, and when you see it, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to sell, you know, everything I own to get one of these things because it looks really crazy great.
It
looks like an amazing, you know, way to use a machine. And the funny thing, he made that thing a couple of years ago and he claims that he, you know, it was a private video on YouTube and he sent it to Apple and it was viewed about 11 times from IP addresses in Cupertino.
Really?
And this is like 2 years ago. And then no one looked at it until a few days later when he started telling us about it. And he told us and he told a couple of other people. But, you know, he's you know, it's like he doesn't want to claim that Apple took his idea, but...
but they did.
Right.
I mean, they definitely take features. When they see good features, they take them and put them into their products. I mean, I was looking at what they were doing with the auto unlock feature, and I was thinking to myself, this is Mac ID. They took I don't know if they took it from Mac ID. I don't even know if Mac ID was the first to come up with these auto unlock ideas, but Apple certainly took them and put them into their products.
Great artists steal, you know?
That's right. Great artists steal. Steve Jobs even said it. Well, has anyone corroborated this guy's story, Leander? Do we even know if he actually did send the videos to Apple or...
No. He just claims that. And it's just curious. It's interesting. And of course, you know, people do this all the time, right? I mean, especially in Hollywood, you know, I wrote the script for, you know, whatever it was, Rocky, right? Remember that? And I think Apple's super careful. They don't, you know, no company will take any unsolicited ideas. They won't even open it. If you send someone something in an envelope, they won't open. They'll just send it straight back.
Oh, really?
Because they don't want to be accused of this kind of stuff.
Hmm.
You know, because it's like millions. You know, someone could launch a huge lawsuit and try to claim, you know, I guess, I don't know. You know, I think they do it with trademarks and things like that. You know, I think you have to have some stronger basis than posting something onto YouTube. I think you have to have a patent. You know,
well, right, because otherwise it's just an idea. It's like, what's an idea worth?
Right, exactly. And it's
not much.
Exactly. Not much. Not much at all.
Okay, let's wrap up with an iPhone 7 rumor.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. I can't imagine that this is true because we've talked about this, but it seems a little early for this to be coming true. And the rumor is there was a iPhone 7 display leak, which shows essentially a touch-sensitive home button. Buster, you're already poo-pooing this.
Totally fake.
You think so?
Yeah, it's an Android phone. Somebody else on Twitter showed it like turned on, and it looks like an Android or looks like an iPhone, but it's an Android phone.
So you're telling me Apple's releasing a new Android phone with touch capacitive button? You heard it here first, folks. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up with that. I don't think we can top that. That's going to be amazing. I love Android personally. And I can't wait to see Apple reinvent Android again. Is there any other WWDC thoughts, premonitions,
just
things that you want to mention before we close here?
It was kind of surprising. I think the iMessage API was probably opening up of iMessages was really surprising. It was surprising how much they're opening up everything. You know, Siri, iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a different take. You know, that's not how Steve Jobs would have done it. You know, Apple always just had so much control on everything, and this time it's like they're embracing other people trying to help them, or other developers helping them take iOS to where it needs to go in the future.
It could pay off for them really well. I hope that it does, or it could end up being like Safari extensions.
Yeah,
you know, where it's like no one uses it, right? And for whatever reason, Google Chrome extensions are wildly popular, but Safari extensions are not. I don't know why that is. Maybe someone who's a developer could reach out to me on Twitter and let me know. Enlighten me, please. Any last thoughts? Any last wishes, Leander, before we wrap up? Did we miss anything?
Miss anything?
Yeah.
No.
Should we go at least another hour?
Actually, I have to run. I got to go to meet, someone at 2 o'clock. But,
okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Tim, you know, kind of took like a bit of a back seat, didn't he, at that one?
He did, definitely.
Didn't see a lot of Tim and didn't see any Phil. No Phil.
Didn't see any Phil. Well, he's the hardware guy usually, isn't he?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So he'll be coming out. And of course, it looks really exciting. I think they've really got some great stuff.
I do think it's worth at least a mention that when that lady was showing off the new Apple Music revamp and trying to get the developers to dance with her, it was one of, personally speaking, it was one of the most awkward experiences of my life, and I include puberty in that statement.
Like, I felt
one of the most terrible moments.
I felt bad for her because, you know, she had a lot of energy. She was great, but you were trying to get a bunch of nerds to rap along with you to Rapper's Delight. Come on.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know why they thought that was going to go over well. You know.
Yeah. It didn't go over well at all. Yeah. A lot of awkwardness in that room at the moment.
She's in to get kind of you know, the impression I got from looking at Twitter is that she got quite a lot of accolades on Twitter for it.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I thought she was cool and I appreciated the effort. Just thought it was the wrong crowd, you know.
Well, there's no doubt that she was cool.
Yeah, she was. That's the, you know, nobody else in the room was, though.
Yeah,
you know?
They just weren't following her. Yeah, you know? That was more the problem.
Yeah. Good point. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what your favorite WWDC features were, I'm at Airfon, Landers L. Caney, Buster is BST3R. You can also come join the WWDC discussion thread we have at thecultcast.reddit.com. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Oh, and if you're ready to save time invoicing and if you're ready to see how your business is really doing, make sure you check out freshbooks.com/cult. That's freshbooks.com/CULT. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I said a hippie to the hip hoppy. You don't stop. You want to join me, Buster?
Oh,
the bang bang boogie.
I don't know the words, man.
Boogie. It's the rhythm of the boogity beat.
I'm having a flashback.
Going on?
Oh, just sweating my balls off in Phoenix, man. My God.
What's it up to?
Dude, it's supposed to hit 120 this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you lose weight when it gets that hot?
No, because I just stay inside and drink a lot of beer when it's summertime.
Oh, really?
And I don't want to go
stay
out.
Hydrated.
Yeah, you don't want to go out and run or anything in that hot weather. Or hike either, dude. You just try and chill, you know?
So you just sit around in the whitey-tidies, one hand inside the band, and just sipping on those beers, huh?
Yep, you got it exactly.
Yeah, you're living the life. I got to move there.
Oh, yeah, why not? No.